RVFTA's Campground of the Week is sponsored by Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, visit jayco.com. And by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV.
America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week. Our Northeast correspondents are Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, the co-hosts of the RV Family Travel Atlas and Campground of the Week podcasts. They are also the authors of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations, and they do other stuff too. Welcome to the show, Stephanie.
Thank you so much, Jeremy. It is great to be here on Campground of the Week.
And this is a historical moment in Campground of the Week. But before we tell you why this is a historical moment, if the title didn't give it away, we need to thank our friends at Progressive Insurance, who sponsor all this great RV content that we bring you every week.
So Progressive customers can sign up for vacation liability, which is an optional coverage that protects you if others are injured around your RV or campsite. To sign up for optional liability protection of up to $500,000, call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV today.
Okay, so we are testing out a new concept for Campground of the Week because we're kind of heading into our second year of Campground of the Week. And I think Stephanie and I both like to not get stuck in a formula per se, even though we like the formula. So we're trying something new this week and we're calling it Campground Smackdown. So Stephanie, can you elaborate a little on what that is? We're not going to do it every week, but when we can.
Right. So what's happened is we've covered a lot of campgrounds over the past almost year. We're not quite there, but we're pretty close. So sometimes, you know, we'll review a campground or one of our correspondents will review a campground. And then, you know, we hear from somebody else, oh, but I love another campground that's in that area. Or like there's another campground that's near there.
But
that's
what about
there.
This one?
Yes. So that has happened a few times. And we realized, and I think one of our correspondents even said, this would be really great to go head to head. I think Carrie Cox said to go head to head too. And we had already been thinking about it.
And so, plus I like to say campground smackdown.
So we decided that in those instances, it would be really fun to do a campground smackdown where we actually review both of the campgrounds. Okay, now what we'll do is if it's a campground that we have already featured on Campground of the Week, we will replay the review part. Okay, not the activities and the food and all of that. You can go back and listen to the episode for all of that stuff. We will just replay the campground review part. And then in the second part, we're going to introduce the second campground and do the smackdown.
Well, and so many areas have more than one really viable option. So this will put them together for you so you can make a better choice. Now, Stephanie, I'm going to put you on the spot. I think at the end of the show, you and I have to pick our favorite or else what kind of campground smackdown is that?
Right. So we'll do that. We will do that. I don't know how we're going to do that when we have our correspondents on. It'll feel like picking amongst your favorites, you know, but
then maybe our audience will just have to decide. But both of these were done by us. We still could, though, because it's not personal. It's just about picking the campground that would be right for us. Where do we want to stay?
Yeah, so we decided.
But it might hurt the feeling. Our correspondents are sensitive.
They're sensitive folks.
So we'll figure that out.
They're a big cuddly.
We'll get back to you.
Yeah. So for this first episode, this first campground smackdown, we decided to start out with Quarryville. Okay, the Jellystone Quarryville that we reviewed on episode number 43. All right. And we are going to put that up against Lake Inwood in Narbonne, Pennsylvania.
And here's the thing. They're both great options. Mm-hmm. And it's not like we're going to pick a stinky option and an awesome one. That's just too obvious. I mean, we want to pick two really viable options and then kind of let you decide and share our opinions about which one we think is best for our family.
Now, both of these campgrounds are located in the heart of Pennsylvania Dutch country. Okay. And that's a great RV destination. In fact, it's one of the 40 that was featured in our book. And these are two out of the three campgrounds that we picked for that book. So, you know, we thought this is a good place to start and to kind of try out this new idea. So are you ready to go?
Yeah, why don't we throw it to that original review of Jellystone Quarryville, and then we'll come back after that and give you a fresh, shiny new review of Lake Inwood in Narbonne, Pennsylvania.
Here we go.
So this is a Jellystone park, as we've mentioned. There's about 90 Jellystones in the country now. They seem to be kind of fast approaching 100. It seems like they're probably going to all be pretty happy when they get to 100. And the thing to know, sort of the insider detail on this Jellystone, is it's owned by a company that has 6 or 7 Jellystones, and they are all going for this very like resort, high-end luxury camping experience. And we've been to 3 of their campgrounds, I think, Jellystone mm-hmm. Luray, Lazy River, and this one. And they're all just top campgrounds. I mean, they're like top American campgrounds to me in the resort category.
This is research, people. We're doing serious research.
I want to blow people's minds right now. There are so many small companies in the campground industry that own 5 campgrounds, 10 campgrounds, mm-hmm. 12 campgrounds. There are a lot of small companies out there that own a KOA, a Jellystone, a Good Sam. It gets pretty complicated, but this company seems to be focused on buying pre-existing Jellystones or buying other campgrounds and really turning them into luxurious, top dollar, but we think very worth it, resort campgrounds.
Right. So we've been really interested in sort of watching this model and experiencing this model and then sort of trying to measure it up against the experience that we have at other campgrounds, the price point compared to other campgrounds. And we're really going to focus on that a lot in this review because, you know, the bottom line is this is a phenomenal resort camping experience. I want to say this, even though we've said it before, resort is overused in the campground industry. This is the creme de la creme of resort camping. If you're going to think about a resort, this is a perfect example of it. And the prices are, you know, in line with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, the prices at a campground like this can be like $80 to $120, maybe even topping out at a little over $120 a night. For a lot of our listeners, that's like not an option for you. And that's fine. Like, you know, I understand that. You know, if you don't want to spend $120 on a night of camping, if that seems crazy to you, that's fine. But we think this is like a really awesome choice for a certain type of camper who wants to splurge. And for us, look, this is not the type of place we're going to camp out every weekend. This is a special treat kind of place for us. And we think that if you go, you should kind of just like not really think too much about it. Like, I'm going to go, I'm going to spend X amount of dollars and not really worry about that camping fee because you're getting an entire water park wrapped into the price of that for your whole family.
Yeah, absolutely. And that really is what it's about. It's about separating out of your head the idea of like camping, right? And what that normally costs you and coming here, because what you're getting here is truly an experience. So we're going to talk about what that experience entails.
The way to really look at that price point is to think of it as what you would pay to take your entire family to a water park, but you also get to bring your RV and spend the night. So if I said to you, you can go to a water park and then you can bring all 5 or 6 of your kids, bring them to the water park, and guess what? You're going to get to spend the night with your RV and it's all going to cost $120. All of a sudden, we'd think about that quite differently because if you were taking 5 or 6 family members to a water park, you're going to spend way more than that.
Mm-hmm. Do you know, I thought about it in terms of our trips to Great Wolf Lodge.
Okay, oh, gosh, so much more expensive.
To me, that's comparable because we do that as a splurge treat with our kids. And Great Wolf Lodge, you can only go to the water park if you stay in the hotel. So the water park is included with the cost of your hotel room. So I think that in a lot of ways, they're very similar experiences. You go, you stay, and you don't have to leave the building.
You can drop $700 a night on Great Wolf Lodge.
Right, depending on when you go during the year. But you think about it and you think, well, the kids were entertained from dawn till midnight, you know,
yeah.
And the water park included. So you walk away thinking, well, that's the whole price of what we spent. And I think that if you've ever been to a Great Wolf Lodge and they are spread out throughout the country, you know, think about that kind of experience when you go to Quarry Vale.
I can't say this enough. I mean, I really do think of these types of Jellystones as one of the best values in family travel in the country. I know a lot of people look at the price and think it's overpriced. I think it's actually a bargain when you really understand what you're getting. And if it's the type of thing that you would enjoy as a family, which for us, our kids love it.
We believe that. And we also know that many people do not believe that. So that's what, kind of why we bring it up over and over again, just because we know we're kind of talking to people who maybe have a different perspective. All right, so let's dive into some of the details.
Let's say this too, though. Okay. This campground sold out. You know, it's not like they're struggling to convince people this is a good model and a good price point.
Yeah.
You know, we were camping with friends and she said, you know, sometimes I think this is expensive, but frankly, they could charge more because they're sold out and there are people dying to get in.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
If that's how you judge what something should cost, they probably could charge more and still be sold out.
All right. So how big of a campground is this?
Big. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not going to count the number of sites on this map. It's well over 120 sites. Lots of cabins. It's a large campground. And one of the things that was sort of kind of different about this campground is that all of the activities and the pool and all of that stuff, it is not in the middle of the campground. It is actually all off to sort of like the bottom of the campground.
It's like along the edge.
Edge, mm-hmm. Just the way it's designed. It's great. It's perfectly great design. But you can have a site that is pretty far away from all of that stuff. Right.
So, especially like laser tag. Like, think about where you guys played laser tag. I know I'm giving away information from later in the episode, but it is really far away. So
I'm going to drop one of the insider tips right now just because it makes sense. Like I said, this is a splurge. You know, we recommend if you can afford it and you want to do it, if you get a site that's far away from the pool, rent a golf cart. Just bite the bullet, rent a golf cart. I love having a golf cart at a campground like this.
At a big one, yeah. We never would get a golf cart at a walkable campground. But for us, a place
we
like this.
We had a site way in the back. It was a nice site. I mean, I asked for a site in a quiet area way in the back. Well, that put me far away from everything. So the golf cart was really, really fun.
All right. So we talked about the price range, right? But let's talk a little more specifically about the ease of booking. Okay. So we went at the height of this, of the summer season. And we also went over a weekend and we had to book far in advance.
Months in advance. I mean, I think I booked this 4 months in advance and there weren't a ton of sites left at that point, but I did get a really good one. And look, we do, our listeners know we do work for the Jellystone Park sometimes, you know, and they're a sponsor of the podcast. I still have to call and make reservations.
Oh, sure. They're not going to boot you guys off the site because we're coming.
No, never works that way. Oh, RVFTA called. Sorry, Jones family. You have to leave the campground.
Nobody's going to do
you know,
that.
In all these cases, you know, sponsored trip, not a sponsored trip. I'm calling the campground like, hey, do you have a site? You know?
Yeah.
So I had to call months in advance. If you want to go to this campground, particularly on a summer weekend, you need to call in advance. If you're going Sunday to Thursday, it might not be quite so bad, but the campground was packed. There were not empty sites sitting around.
Right. And I think that at this kind of a place, we're going to dive into the site specifics. I really believe that the sites are so nice. Like, there are so many awesome sites at this campground that I would want to really reserve in advance so I could kind of get my like pick of the lot.
You know, we had a great site. We had a really big site. Now, out of all of the resort campgrounds we've been to, this was the largest site we've had. It was very spacious. I wouldn't go as far to say it was like a state park kind of site.
It was pretty
big.
But
it was pretty big. A whole other RV could have fit on the site, frankly.
Yeah. The sites were all gravel, right? And but they were a nice like stone gravel, super manicured. So a lot of them had the edging of the larger like decorative rocks. Okay, so they'd have those larger rocks like almost lining it like a low wall, you know, around your site. And when I say low, I mean like, you know, 7-8 inches, but still really edged nicely. And then grasses and flowers and trees, and I was stunned by the level of manicured landscaping and the size of the sites for this kind of campground where you expect to be sort of like plugged in next to your neighbor.
A lot of our listeners know when you go to the resort style campground where they're providing you with all kinds of pools and mini golf and all that stuff, a lot of times they cram you in like sardines because, you know, so much of their space is given away to all that common area kind of stuff. So on our second day there, I said something like, oh, we got one of the best sites here. And you were like, well, actually, there's a lot of great sites here. You're like, I've been walking around looking, and I almost didn't believe you. I was like, really?
You did. You reacted when I said to you.
Because it doesn't look like that. There's some weird thing there where it doesn't look like the sites are big. But then when you start walking around and sort of like looking at each site, you're like, oh, that's a good one. Oh, that's a good one. And they don't, you're almost never looking at your neighbor's hookups. Just the way they stuttered them, you know, you're almost always have a bit of privacy around the campfire, or at the very least, you're not looking at somebody's black tank.
Well, because it's loops. Everything's like in this very loop-de-loop pattern. So what happens is there's not like these rows. You know, I think that sometimes that's what does campgrounds in, is when they get these long rows of pull-throughs or something, like they forget to do the landscaping in between those
Good
rows
point.
And everything. You know,
lots of loop-de-loops.
Yeah.
And like the first time I drove around on the golf cart,
I got lost.
I mean, I recovered, but I literally was like, I don't know where I am right
now. Well, and that's a difference about this campground, too. One of the first things I said to the boys when we pulled in, and we had been at a lot of smaller campgrounds. We had been at some, you know, national parks and everything. And I said to them, number one, I go, you're not going anywhere on those bikes, you know? I was like, this is not the campground where I'm going to go, hey, go ride your bike, see you back here. I was like, I don't know if they'd ever find a way back. It's a little, because it's like I said, it's looping. It's not these straight roads. They can't see a big loop that just goes around and returns. It is a large campground. I was like, I'm not setting my kids free in the city.
And there's some of the sites you mentioned have drop-offs. They're like a little bit of terracing going on. And you wanted to point out that you might, if you have a little kid, you might want to ask about that and make sure you're not on a site that has a kind of a sharp drop. And that's also something that makes the campground a little confusing, because there's sort of roads that are lower
than other areas. Road that was like below us, down
like you could
a
see
slope.
It, but like, how do you get there?
I don't know how you got there, yeah. But it was such a nice row of sites back there. I mean, gorgeous, tucked back into the woods. Really a nice little row back there. And I would have loved to be back there. But then the site next to us, you know, it had, I think, a drive down to that row. And there was like rock edging along the edge of their site. And I thought, that's such a nice site. But, you know, I know a lot of our listeners have that nightmare age of like the 12-month to the 2-year-old, like just walking, but really bad at it and
don't
doing stupid
things. Don't want the riverfront site. With little Johnny.
Yeah. So if you are in that time period of your life with your kids, it's really difficult and you feel like your like kids always on the brink of doing something incredibly like, you know, ridiculous, mention that when you're making your reservation.
Yeah. And you're looking at the campground map, you're not going to see that.
Right.
You're not going to see, oh, that site is a drop off. It's the only information you're going to get if you call, which we tell everyone to always make sure you call. Now, the other thing that's really notable about the sites here, I've never seen such a wide variety of buddy sites, right? I mean, a lot of campgrounds have one buddy site or two. And what we mean by a buddy site is when two campers can go on one site and share a large site together and face each other awning to awning with a common area in the middle. They had buddy sites here for two campers, three campers, four campers. There's so many different contortions of how they do it.
So most buddy sites, if you look for them at campgrounds, and you have to get used to looking for them because they're not necessarily immediately apparent. So you go awning to awning, and the important part is that your hookups are both behind your RVs, right? So they're on opposite sides. Now, at this campground, it was so interesting. They had buddy sites where your RVs would pull through, like back to front. So your front doors would be lined up next to each other, like you would be lined up next to each other to your next door neighbor in your neighborhood. You know, front doors facing out.
Exactly. And then you'd have a big shared area in front.
Yeah. Now, they had those two, and then you could do the same opposite that. So it would be like if you had four RVs. They could line up like that. And cabins
interspersed everywhere.
And then cabins were right there. So if you were traveling with a friend that didn't have an RV, they could reserve that cabin that was near it. There were so many configurations that made this a place.
That's the word I meant to use before, not contortions.
like sites bending over backwards.
The sites were a little contorted too. But if you want to camp with some friends or some family or a larger group and like a special treat for, you know, family reunion, whatever, not everybody has an RV, this is one of the best places I've seen where you could probably really find accommodations for the RV people and the non-RV people all in one area. Because so many campgrounds have all the cabins all shoved off in one area. So if you've got friends that are cabin people, you're going to be far, far away. So that's what we have to say about the sites. Now, you can't talk Yogi Bear and you can't talk Yogi Bear at Quarryville without talking about all the amenities. And I'm almost intimidated to start talking about them because I'm not going to say all of them. Mm-hmm. The pool is a water park. It's that simple. There's water slides that are good for little kids. There's water slides that are good for kids 10, 11, and 12. The water slides are not like something that an 18-year-old is going to find. Like, this is a thrilling water slide. It's, you know, that's not what they're for.
But the big dump buckets and everything, you know, bigger the kids water were wars. Very into it.
There was, correct me if I'm wrong, a family hot tub and an adults-only hot tub?
Right. So there were actually quite a few pools, and they were terraced out. Yeah, I lost.
There were so many pools.
So there's the big water park area that was really great for the kids, and they loved it, and we spent a lot of time there. Then there was a big pool that was right next to that, and what I loved about this pool was it had a volleyball, like a volleyball net in it with a lot of balls there. I'm telling you, the whole time we were there, we had such a good time playing family volleyball with all these other families that would just like
nobody
all,
keeping score.
Nobody's people moving in and out of the game. Over. And, you know, it was like all these like just really laid back people like helping kids jump up to get the volleyball. And like, I don't know, like, it had this great community feel to it. It had a great vibe.
It was like we were meeting other parents.
It was the first time the boys had ever done anything like that. And they really had a fun time doing it. And then it also had in the middle the basketball net so the other kids could sit over there and do it. Now, up then terraced up on another ledge was a quieter pool. And it really was. It was like a little low key. So if you had kids that like needed a little like less stimulation, a little bit of a break, we were up there with friends, you know, quite a bit, just chilling out. So the kids didn't have to be involved in all the balls and the, you know, and just swimming. And then there was up there a family hot tub and an adult hot tub.
And the boys were thrilled because they love hot tubs. And they'd been to a couple campgrounds in a row that didn't allow kids in the hot tub. There were also cabanas for rent up there. So this campground has some off-the-hook extras that you can plunk down some hard-earned cash for.
Go ahead. But before we say all of the off-the-hook extras, I would like to say that they didn't charge extra for any of the water slides or the water park, you know, things. And I appreciate
that. That's included in the price. Yeah, yes. That's very key at a place like
this. I hate it when I have to pay extra for a water slide.
Good point. Now, the cabanas, it was interesting. We just decided, we were there for 3 nights, and we decided, you know what, we're splurging. We're gonna pay for the extras. And we did. And they had cabanas for $150 a night that had like a fan in them.
A day. Yeah.
Sorry.
It was the whole $150
for a day. Yeah. For the whole day.
A TV.
Television.
refrigerator.
And I was considering renting one of those, though I didn't care about the TV or any of that stuff. But they were all sold out. It wasn't even an option. And I thought the $150 was a little high on that price, whatever. But I was going to get one.
We had friends coming in.
So we wanted like a special treat.
Wouldn't that be
great? But she said we just opened up two smaller ones. And she said it's just a table and chairs and a cooler in the shade under the cabana right outside of the hot tub. And I was like, that's all I want. Like, I don't need a ceiling fan and I don't need a fridge. And she's like, those are $50 a day. Bingo. Nailed it. Got one. And it was a real hot summer day. Another family came and met us and we shared that cabana for the day. And it was awesome. I have to say, it was really fun.
The kids, I'm telling you, they'll remember. Like, that's the thing is just sometimes you do those extra special things and those are the things the kids are going to remember. Like, they had the lounge chairs and like, you know, our kids were like lounging on, and our kids don't like lounge on chairs. They were having their snacks and their juice boxes and they felt like they were just like having this own little kid
and
party.
And we'd swim for an hour, mm-hmm. take a break for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Swim for an hour, take a break for 20 minutes. Now, if you think that's an off-the-hook extra, How about the hot tub rentals that they deliver to your site?
Yeah.
Sold out. Couldn't get one, people. Some of you out there are like, yeah, I want a hot tub rental. Others of you out there are like all judgy right now, like that ain't camping.
Right.
You know, but we were going to get one and they were sold out. So they didn't even have any.
Our kids go to a lot of campgrounds. And one of the ongoing, like, great disappointments of their life is when we are at a campground, which has an adult only hot tub. They get existentially, like, depressed about it. Like, they can't believe they can't go in the hot tub. So when I was making the reservation for this campground, they were saying, oh, you want this hot tub? And I actually thought about it for a minute. And, like, I priced it out, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, no, we're just going to go with the golf cart. I chickened out. Then we got there and I said to you, okay, we got to get the hot tub. Like, we just have to be all in at this campground. So I said, go try to get the hot tub. And you came back and you said, they don't have any.
Yeah. And I think they were a hunch a day. I think they were okay. You could say it's a little bit crazy, but they're delivering a hot tub to your site.
We saw
and then compared to the $150 cabana. In my mind, all of a sudden, I was like, I'm going to save $50. Like, I can save $50.
The boys would have lost their marbles if we had had a hot tub at our site. But then the thing was, is then we saw that they had a family hot tub, and I was like,
yeah, it didn't seem as necessary. Yeah. But then I thought, man, I wonder if they still rent those hot tubs, like, in October. Mm. Like, I'd love to go on a fall weekend on a cool night and have that hot tub on my site. Oh, my goodness.
That's fun.
Why do people that go to resorts have to have all that kind of crazy, right. I mean, that experience.
Like, and that is the whole point here, is that when you go to a resort in the Caribbean, you get a hot tub. It's there, right? So this is mimicking that experience in a campground environment. This is not camping. Don't say, oh, that's not camping. Duh, it's a resort. You're just staying in your RV.
It's truly a resort experience. So yeah. Look, oh my gosh, that's just the beginning. The laser tag area was awesome. It was like a military grade training facility. And here's something that is a bargain. The laser tag at the Jellystone at Lazy River and Jellystone Quarryville per person was either $7, $8, $9, or $10. Forgive me, I should know, but it was like $7 to $10 a person.
Later on at night. If you did it earlier in the day, it was $5. So it was cheaper.
Okay. So it was like $5 in the day and like $8 at night or something like that. Yeah. And that's an hour of laser tag. I find that to be a great bargain for how much fun it is.
Yeah, because you think about, we live by a boardwalk because we're on the Jersey Shore. So you think about like how much batting cages cost or things like that you just kind of like pay that fee to do an activity. This is a steal. And that was the boys' like great obsession. Campground obsession, you know.
My great campground obsession this summer. I had so much fun; it was ridiculous. Now they have a great mini golf course. Now these Jellystones, this is like a miniature golf course, like you'd find at the Jersey Shore on the boardwalk. They're that good. That maybe not like the Myrtle Beach ones, you know, like those ones where there's waterfalls and all that stuff.
But that's
included in your camping fee. So I've said this before on the show. If you want to take your whole family out miniature golfing at the boardwalk, you could spend $30 or $40. Well, that's included in your site that's costing you $90, $100, $110 bucks a night. So really nice miniature golf. Gem mining, okay, which is not Stephanie's favorite activity. No. And that's an extra price.
Extra cost.
Okay. There was not one, but two Gaga ball pits. There was a jumping pillow and a jump pad. They had both. We love it when campgrounds had both. A huge modern playground, an outdoor theater, a pedal cart track, shuffleboard, basketball, horseshoes. And one thing I really like about some of the Jellystones we've been to recently, we've really noticed this a lot, that they also do want to keep the teenagers entertained. So where a 16-year-old is not going to be like finding the water slides off the hook thrilling. I mean, am I right about that?
Yeah, and they're not going to like go hugging Yogi either at the flag raising.
Oh, well, Max won't hug. Is like
no,
too cool to hug Yogi.
The 7-year-olds are over.
But they have like a real basketball court. Right? Like they have a full court. It's not like a gigantic Olympic size full court. Not that you call a full court Olympic size. I used to play basketball, but it's like a real full court. You could get a pickup game and play 5-on-5 basketball. So we're noticing that about some of the Yogis is that the teenagers can go off and have a pickup game of volleyball or basketball. And it's not just like that basketball hoop stuck on a mound of dirt, you know, up behind the camp store.
All right. So do you have any other insider details that I know we gave a lot kind of peppered through there, but you know, we talked about You know, definitely renting the golf cart. We talked about the different kinds of sites. What else do you have?
We did Jellystone Lazy River this summer. We did Jellystone Quarryville, and we actually did Barton Lake. And all three of those are resort-style yogis. They all have a good number of seasonals, and they're sold out. They can become hectic places on the weekend. So we were at these different places at the weekend and sometimes during the week. The crowds drop off significantly Sunday night. So my insider tip is, if you're going to go to Jellystone Quarryville, if you're going to go to Jellystone Lazy River, whichever one is nearby you, there's a bunch of these resort-style Jellystones. If you can, if your schedule allows it, I'd consider going like Sunday to Thursday. You know, if you have a week off, maybe just do Sunday to Thursday, because you are going to spend a little more mm-hmm. camping there, and you're going to have a lot less of a crowd. You're going to have the place more to yourself.
Yeah, good tip. Absolutely. All right, now, you want to do Nobody's Perfect? You ready? You want me to go first?
Or? You go first.
Okay. So Quarryville does allow day visitors. And this is something that a lot of these resort campgrounds do that have these great water park facilities. They allow people to come in for the day and pay a price to use the water park facilities. So I'm not necessarily against this policy. We've seen it in action at quite a few campgrounds that we visited. And what my opinion is on the topic is that if you as a campground owner are going to allow day use at your campground, you need to have your ducks in a row about it. You need to be very thoughtful. You need to have your policies in place. And you need to be very careful that it never impacts the experience of your actual campers. Because like I said, I mentioned Great Wolf Lodge before and that we splurge for that. Great Wolf Lodge has a policy that you have to stay at their hotel in order to use the facilities there. And what that does is it makes it feel exclusive, right?
So, and you're never waiting in line at Great Wolf Lodge for that long.
Right, because they limit the amount of usage, right? So it's a premium. It's putting a premium price on the experience. So for the most part, I'm not sure how they limit the amount of users that come in or so. I wouldn't say that we felt overwhelmed on the weekend. We were there.
The pool was packed. I mean, the pool was literally packed. We happened to have fun doing mm-hmm. the volleyball and stuff. Other people might go, oh, this is too hectic for me.
Right. So leaving, what happened was they had very good customer service, very friendly people at the front
desk. There's like four desks. Like you check in. It's like literally checking in at a hotel.
Yeah.
There's four people there and you wait in line and you get called. And it is. It's like a hotel. It's like concierge service.
Right. So we were hooked up. We were pulling out and I followed the golf cart, right, with the RV out to the front. And then I was running in. I parked the golf cart and I was running in with the golf cart key to drop it off. So we were hitched up. Our kids are all in the car. You're out, like ready to go. And I was just running in. All I needed to do was drop off the golf cart key. Well, I ended up, there was two people behind the desk and one of them was on the phone doing reservations. And the other person, I was behind a group of probably 11 or 12 people who were there for a day group visit. And there was a lot involved in checking them in for the day. Like they had to go over all these policies and rules and blah, blah, blah. And there was like, who's your kids? And here's your, you know, bands. And so what happened was I was just trying to drop off a golf cart key. And I felt rude. Like my manners kept me from like going up to the desk and just like throwing the key in the lady's face, like, here you go, and going. But meanwhile, I must have waited in line for a good 10 to 15 minutes. And I was a camper there just trying to drop off a key. So my real advice here and my real, like, Nobody's Perfect recommendation is you need, if you are going to invite day stay visitors onto your campground, you need to have a dedicated check-in service for them. Nobody who is a camper should ever be waiting in line behind people who are day visitors. And I feel that very strongly.
Or a pre-check-in or something.
Anything,
get that done
right
over the phone, something like that. Yeah, I agree. You shouldn't be waiting in line for 15 minutes
right
behind the day folks.
You have to be able to have the personnel to separate those services out if you're going to offer them.
My Nobody's Perfect, and I'd love to hear other opinions out this out there in listener land if you want to email us or just drop us a comment. I don't like having to wear a bracelet at a campground. you know, and most of these yogis, they make you wear a bracelet to get into the pools and all of that stuff. And I find them slightly uncomfortable. And the boys, they annoy them at night and they rip them off. And they say, if it bothers you and you want to rip it off at night, you can, you know, bring it back in and get a new one. Well, I don't want to have to do that in the morning. You know, if Wesley's falls off because his wrist is so thin, I don't, you know, it's not something I want to deal with. So that was our review of Jellystone Quarryville, truly a classic family campground. We'll be back in a second to give you a shiny, fresh new review of Lake and Wood in Narbonne, Pennsylvania. Stay tuned.
Generations of family fun. It's what Jayco's founder, Lloyd Bontrager, set out to provide nearly 50 years ago when he started the company on the family farm in 1968.
Today, Jayco, the world's largest privately owned RV manufacturer, is still focused on providing a way for families to create lasting memories.
From camping trailers to gas Class A motorhomes and everything in between, you'll find that Jayco offers the most standard features and the best warranty in the industry, giving you the value you want and the peace of mind you deserve.
Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time to get down with the campground smackdown. We just reviewed Jellystone Quarryville. It's a terrific place, a great campground. But now we're going to bring you a fresh new review of Lake and Wood in Narbonne, PA, which is also a great campground if you're touring in this area. And then we're going to have to pick which one we like more, and you're going to have to decide which one you like more if you're going to visit this area. So let's dive into our review of Lake and Wood in Narbonne, PA. Stephanie, where the heck is this place?
So Lake and Wood Campground is about 30 miles away from the Quarryville, okay, campground. But the thing is, you know, Lancaster City proper is basically smack dab in the middle of them. It almost like forms like a little bit of a triangle. And then, so like the Lake and Wood campground is up to the north of Dutch Country, right, of Lancaster County, and the Jellystone Quarryville is towards the south of it.
And I would say on this one that they're both, I don't think either has an advantage in terms of what's outside of the campground. This is really sort of a pure campground choice because both of them have just kind of quiet country around them to some degree or another, and then Lancaster in the middle.
Right. I mean, this is Dutch Country. There's tons of activities. You listen to episode number 43, to listen to the activities we recommend it, but then there's also different ones in our book. And then also on our forum, we have a lot of southeastern Pennsylvania folks on the forum that have made recommendations about things to do in that area too. So there's a lot of places to go for Dutch Country recommendations.
Now, Stephanie, in your notes, you call this campground huge. And it is. Can you elaborate?
Yeah, it's just, it is one of the larger campgrounds that most people will ever go to. It has multiple sections. It has tent camping opportunities. It has like 3 dozen, cabins, or
you can rent a caboose.
Yeah, they're all different types.
They have some very quirky lodging as well, mm-hmm. which is really fun for the non-RV owner.
They have lots of pull-throughs, huge sections of pull-throughs for big rigs. And then they have all these sections that are these like tucked away back-in sites.
Yeah, it's a cliche. I mean, I think we say this a lot, or I say it a lot. It does not feel like a huge campground because at no point are you seeing this whole field of sites or anything like that. It's very shaded, very filled with trees, and you really feel like you are in your little neighborhood on your street.
Right. So one of the things that you do have to recognize is it is big enough that walking places does take time. I mean, this is a great biking campground because it has paved roads, which is always a 2 thumbs up for us. And also, you can't bring your own golf cart, but they have golf carts available to rent there. And that does seem to be a pretty popular option for families when they're going to this campground.
Well, for instance, we've been 2 times now, and some of our favorite sites are a pretty good walk from the pool area, where the pool area is also the restaurant area, the miniature golf, the playground. So, you know, for us, it is a bike riding campground. We ride our bikes to the pool. I don't think one time did we walk to the pool.
Right. Yeah. So definitely bring your bikes if you have them, if everybody can bike. And it's also a great campground for walks, for runs. If you're a runner, this is the kind of campground that you see in the morning, people doing their morning runs and everything, because you can. Like, you could meander through this campground and run for miles.
And it feels like a gated community in some ways. You know, it really is sort of its own fully functioning little world, a very cute, charming one at that.
Okay. So part of that is that there are plenty of seasonals there, but the seasonal sites are very interspersed along with the transient sites and the different lodging options. The cabins, they're also spread out throughout the whole campground. So again, I can't emphasize enough that there are enough different sections that are all very closed off with trees and landscaping, so you never quite get a feel for how big it is until you try to, like, move from one place to another.
And considering how many seasonals there are, it does not feel like a seasonal campground, because there are so many transient sites as well. There really is a lot of both. So I didn't feel like I felt that, like, when we went to that, like, Sugar Ridge in Vermont, where it's like, oh, this is a seasonal campground where, yeah, they just have a couple sites left over for transients. Lake and Wood does a really nice job balancing those two.
All right. So in terms of pricing and booking, the prices range pretty dramatically from $40 to, on the high end, of $73 a site for one of the full hookups that will be like their premier site. And also that would be like a holiday weekend price. Okay. So depending on whether you're in season, out of season, you're a weekend, you're a week. But one of the things that I really have to give this campground major kudos for is their website is awesome with the information. And that is something that in the campground industry, you know, they need to work on. And Lake and Woods website, they actually have a chart with all of the different prices for all their different campsites throughout the year. Like, I think that's pretty good. Yeah,
during different years, this has received the perfect review from Good Sam, that 10-10-10 review with the star for the extra cleanliness or whatever. And everything is shipshape here. And I have always felt like the prices for the sites are very, very fair. Nothing feels overpriced at Lake and Wood. And that goes all the way into the food service and all the extras and all that stuff as well. Now, the actual sites themselves are a real highlight for this campground. Some of the sites borderline have a state park feel.
Not necessarily in size, but privacy.
But in privacy. Mm-hmm. But these are bigger sites than most private campgrounds give you. Most of them.
Yeah, I think that there, if you look at the space between the sites, that is true. But because there is more foliage and there is more greenery, real trees, real bushes, not just like planted landscaping, I do feel like the site itself, while very nicely kind of cozied and private, it can be on the small side, some of them. So, you know.
Really? This is one of our rare disagreements on Campground of the Week. I mean, I feel like maybe in that one section of the park where some of the big rigs go, that's the case. But where we have camped multiple times around that Friendship Circle or Brotherhood Circle or whatever it is, the sites to me were spacious with lots of trees in between and lots of privacy.
Okay. We'll have to take out our...
After the show, we'll argue about that.
We'll have to take out our measuring tapes the next time we go and measure those things out.
Everybody there, we've gone there for two rallies, and everyone raves about the quality of the sites. Mm-hmm. Now, we've been in the same part of the campground both years, okay?
Because we like that part,
and it's a good part of the campground. Mm-hmm. But to your point, some of them cannot take a rig more than 30 feet. So some of the back ends are not super deep. So that I grant you.
Now, the number of sites means, you know, this is, like we said, this is a large campground. You can book at this campground if your dates are flexible, if you're visiting, you know, you can probably grab some, you know, close to the moment sites when you're trying to travel in the summer. But if you want to go during the summer, during a weekend summer, in the summer, you're probably going to have to book in advance if you want one of the better sites. That would be my kind of take on the difficulty of booking.
Yeah, but because you're not right on the beach or right next to a famous national park or something, I think you should be able to get into Lake and Wood fairly easily, unless it's 4th of July or Memorial Day or something like that.
Right. It's only if you want one of, on their campground map, they have in red, they call them the red carpet sites. And if you're going to want one of those red carpet sites, I do know that people do that thing where they book for the next year, like when they leave. leave that time because they like that site and they come back to it every year. So just, you know, beware about that if you're going to be picky about your site.
When you're talking Lake and Wood, this is one of the handful of campgrounds I have been to where I would truly call it a resort. I think the word fits. It's appropriate. I think it's a fair description of what they offer.
Yeah. So the interesting thing about this campground Smackdown is that Quarryvale is sort of the most off-the-hook, family-centric resort
that we've ever been to.
Lake and Wood strikes a very different tone with its resort amenities. In fact, the thing that I love the most about it is that it has most of the things, right? We can go like mano a mano for amenities, right? With Quarryvale, like we could probably list out a lot of the amenities.
Quarryvale, they're all on steroids, though, as it were. You know, they're all just jacked up, you know, but Lake and Wood has most of what they have. It's just on a smaller scale. It almost sounds crazy to say that because the pools at Lake and Wood are fantastic.
Yeah, so they have an indoor and an outdoor pool. Now, the indoor pool, I'm putting that in air quotes because it's indoor.
Two outdoor pools.
Right. So the indoor pool, it's indoor part of the year. And then it kind of has that open air around it for the summer months, but still has the roof, which is nice. So if it's a rainy day, you're always going to kind of have a little shelter to swim.
And should we get in the hot tub? Well, it's an
option.
Only
if you're an adult.
Yeah, no kids in the hot tub, which drives our kids bonkers.
They all sit around the edge of it wanting to get in.
But there's that hot tub inside too. Then there's two pools outside, right? I'm not imagining that. Two pools?
Kind of, yes. But the other pool is like a smaller
sort of a splash ground with sort of a pool area. But I think it's fair to say two pools out there.
Yeah.
So the pool complex is awesome. I mean, it is really, really up there in terms of ones we've been to.
It's just really, to me, pristine. Everything at this campground is kept so tended and clean.
Disney clean.
Yeah.
I've been to Disney World a bunch of times. It's been a while. But
so,
it's Disney clean.
Really gorgeous that way. And it's also right next to one of the highlights here, which is the Gnome Cafe. And this is kind of like this little grill.
Not even that little, really.
It's a little restaurant.
There's a lot of seating in there.
And they serve the basics, right? So for breakfast, they're serving up all the breakfast basics, pancakes, eggs, etc. And then for lunch, they have the burgers, they have hot dogs.
And some wraps and some nicer items.
Right. And they have like a quesadillas and things like that. And one, we visit here with friends. Like we said, we've done rallies here. And it is a highlight for everybody to eat this food at the Gnome Cafe. Like, we can't help ourselves. We're like, oh, it's the last morning. Let's go get breakfast at the Gnome Cafe.
It's comfortable and cozy. It's a really nice, it's just nice in there, right? I mean, it's kind of relaxing in there, and it's communal in a sense, too. It's a little bit of a gathering spot for the campground. And then the prices are fantastic. It is just really cheap to eat at the Gnome Cafe.
Cash only,
but very reasonably priced. I mean, our family of five can all have lunch there for like, I think, $30.
And then there's a playground that's right next to there, too. So oftentimes they have like picnic tables outside. So what happens all the time when we're there is we all order food, us, our friends, families, everything. Then we sit outside at the picnic tables and wait for food while the kids all play at the playground. And then the food comes and they run over and eat. And the whole thing is just super low key and fun. It's not too busy. It's not too amped up. It's everything's like close enough there, right there, that you can relax and know that your kids are playing and you can see them. So it's just the whole setting there is, you know, I think
you keep pointing to this, Stephanie. This campground balances the kid-adult thing maybe better than anywhere we've been to. Where if you said, you know, is this a campground that's for the kids or is this a campground that's for the adults? It's for both 100%, and it walks that line in a really, really nice way.
Yeah, and activities point to that too, because they actually do have like the craft activities that are more like ceramics and things that people that are adults or even older teenagers might enjoy more. Also, they have things like church service and everything. So some of their activities are very adult oriented.
And it's a gorgeous little like place.
Yeah,
they have
a nice
chapel upstairs.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. They also have a fitness
little
room.
Little fitness center. Very comfortable. Very nice.
So they do have, I feel like they do have amenities and activities that are very comfortable for the adult population there, as well as the kids, and the kids stuff doesn't overtake it. There are wagon rides. There's scheduled games like the softball and the basketball and the volleyball. There's a pond, a 6-acre pond with catch and release fishing. You can also rent paddle boats or little rowboats down there. It all has a very bucolic, sleepy kind of a feel
Lake
to it.
Lake in wood.
Yeah. And that's what it feels
and
like.
And there's gnomes everywhere, by the way, yeah. which you just have to mention. You're walking around, you see a little gnome here, a little gnome there, kind of hiding in the woods. So there's a certain element of charm to it that a lot of other nice private campgrounds don't have. It has personality and charm.
Now, it does have free Wi-Fi as well. I think that it's weak. They use that Tango internet system, which I never have good experiences with when we're visiting different campgrounds. A lot of campgrounds have contracts with that company.
I think Al Gore started that company back in 1981.
I think you're going to see those contracts dry up because they haven't served me well as a camper. And not a great cell signal. That's kind of very common in this area, so you need to be prepared for that when you go to this area. It is not good Wi-Fi cell signal land. Don't expect it. So, you know, that is really something you are, if you're looking for a place that you're going to like have great time with your family, relax a lot, and maybe turn off the devices a little, this is a good place to do it. You also loved your laser tag, right?
The laser tag was fantastic, and it was no extra charge. Now to compare to Jellystone Quarryville, it's a minimal charge there. But this laser tag course was just as good as any Jellystone one we've been on, and it's no extra charge. That's an awesome bonus.
That is a big bonus. And the ice cream, the hand scooped ice cream.
My God, it's so cheap. It's like $1 a scoop
cheap.
Or something.
Right.
They've done a great job keeping prices down. I hope they continue to do so.
Right. That's always something that if you do have to pay for extras, you want it to feel like it is just a little charge for maintenance, as opposed to something that feels like you might as well have gone off the campground and done an activity as a family for the price you paid. That always really gets people riled up. But all of the sports equipment is available to borrow at the camp store, which is beautiful.
And there is a baseball field. There's a nice open field for soccer. There's room to engage in sports with the kids.
And that's one of my favorite things. That was the case at Normandy Farms up in Massachusetts. You could go and get all of the recreation equipment for any of the games. And I think that that is something that top-notch campgrounds offer. And that really sets the experience apart from other campgrounds that we've been to.
All right, let's move on to insider details. Now, for me, I don't know that they have the traditional buddy sites where your RV can face awning to awning with a friend's RV site. But what they have are these really cool sites where there are cut-throughs through the woods. So if you want to camp with another family, you can have sites that are sort of either side by side or in two different rows, but that have a little cute path through the woods that combine them. I really like that, and it worked really well for our rally.
I do want to say that I know that they do have at least one buddy site, okay, because that G&H near Brotherhood Circle is a buddy site. Now, I don't know if they have other ones there, but that's something that if you're interested in that, we always do recommend looking for that. If you're traveling with friends, definitely call and ask about that. So we really like that Brotherhood Circle area because it had the back-ends and you felt wooded, but then right across the way was a huge field for your kids to play in, and also there was a paved loop. So you could sit there in your camp chair and watch your kids scoot or bike all around that loop. So for us having 7-year-olds, it's like ideal because they can have that freedom to go out in the field and play and ride their bikes or go to the playground across the way, and you can see them the whole time and it's perfect. But I need to mention that for other people, there's another section that are really favorites in campsites, and that is the G1, G2, G3, and G4. And those are kind of towards the front of the campground, but they're right up on this huge field that goes down to the pond. And they're more of that patio style site that has
deluxe sites.
Yeah.
They really, truly are really nice deluxe sites.
So
and some of those, I think a couple of those are seasonal, but some of them are open for transient travelers.
They are, but they're hard to book from what I've heard. And we've talked to people that have stayed in them and they say, oh, we book this way in advance because you get that great view and it's a really pretty site with nice landscaping and everything. So those are a favorite. favorite. Nobody's perfect.
Nobody's perfect. So I mean, this may have been a, you know, because we did the rally there, but we did have at least one person on the staff who was just not helpful in planning the rally and in helping us get it organized, everything. Management is terrific, and there are lots of nice people working at the store, but we at least had one person where I was just like, I had to ask to speak to the manager to get the help I needed, and I don't like to do that.
No, and it's not just, it wasn't just one person, because that, we never would complain if somebody was having a bad day or something, but I think we got enough feedback from people that had, didn't know that other people had had a similar experience. And by talking to enough people, I realized, oh, maybe, you know, sometimes the person answering the phone is not as helpful as you would want in the person that might guide you through finding a good campsite.
That, again, for me, that was in the context of doing a rally with 50 people. If you're just calling for a single reservation, maybe you wouldn't have that experience. But it was, you know, somewhat off-putting, and it's stuck out like a sore thumb because everything else at this campground is like close to perfect.
Yeah,
like it really just does approach like perfect.
And like
just
you said, everything's so well done. Pleasant. Yeah.
So look, that's our campground smackdown, right, Stephanie?
That's it.
So I think you and I think it's only fair if you and I pick our favorite out of the two. Do you want me to go first so you can gather your thoughts?
I know what I'm going to say.
So you go ahead.
Okay. So here's the thing. Quarryville is an experience that I will look forward to having again with my kids because it was so sort of unusual in the camping world and it was really so fun and it was such a splurge. You know, we talked about that with Quarryville. It's a splurge.
Splurge is
event.
A key word in making the decision. The price of the sites can be twice as much.
So we were at Quarryville for 3 nights.
Yes.
Okay. And I don't think I would have wanted to stay any longer because it really felt like
it is intense.
Busy.
Well, no, it's an intense, full throttle, fun family camp because it's like you're at an amusement park for 3 straight days. It is intensely fun, but in a way where like relaxation is not necessarily on the menu.
Right. So not especially at this point where we have 3 young kids who need to be like watched more in water situations and everything. So for us, it's more like, oh, watch them go down the slide a million times, right? So for me, that is a special kind of event, but Lake and Wood is sort of my ideal retreat kind of campground. And the reason why I say retreat is because we really can hang out there as a family and find that perfect balance between activity and relaxation. I think every time, you know, we're there, we love the fact that there's enough to keep the boys busy just on their bikes while we can just kind of like take a breath and relax. I really like the balance, and Lake and Wood strikes that for me.
Yeah, I'm on the same page. And so it's ironic, though, because in so many ways, Jellystone Quarryville is better. Better pool, better playground, better laser tag, better ice cream. There's a whole variety of ways in which it's better, but all of that adds up to go, 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 and intensity. So for me, Jellystone Quarryville, and also because of the price, is like once a year, really want to go once a year. You know, really want to take our kids once a year. Lake and Wood I could go to over and over again in the course of 1 year, so I will have to give my nod to Lake and Wood. They're both awesome, though.
Really? Yeah. Both voted for Lake and Wood.
if you're just choosing for the kids, it's not Lake and Wood. You know, if you just want to show your kids a great time, well, that could happen at Lake and Wood. Mm-hmm. But Quarryville is on a whole different level for the kids.
Yeah, and I do want to say we do know people that stayed in some of the vacation like cabins, but they have like the cabooses and a tree house. So they very much do have some unusual experiences that I have heard feedback on that kids just loved. So there you have it. There's also that sort of kid-centric, you know.
Okay. Well, that was fun. So I'm curious what our listeners think. I mean, if you want to shoot us an email and tell us what you think about this kind of test format we've done, that would be great. And a big thanks to Progressive Insurance. Campground of the Week is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Adding an RV policy to another policy like a home, auto, motorcycle, or boat is a great way to save time and money. Get on the road to savings by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV.
And also, thank you very much to Jayco for sponsoring Campground of the Week. To see their full line of RVs, visit jayco.com. campgroundofthewick.com.
We will see you at the campground.
I guess in at Pennsylvania, the Lincolnwood Campground.
Dutch Country, or both. we will go back to both.
Yeah.
You know, there are certain campgrounds that you like and you know you're just not going to go back.
All right.
We will go back to both of these. So we'll see you at both of them at
we'll
one point
or Dutch
another.
We'll see you in Dutch Country.
See you in Dutch Country.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in to RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Links to the campground and regional attractions can be found in the show notes at campgroundoftheweek.com.
And don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our network.
RV Family Travel Atlas is hosted by yours truly, Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, and available every Friday morning.
And Girl Camper, Going Places, Doing Things, is hosted by Janine Pettit and released every Tuesday morning.
Join us next Thursday for another great review from our team of campground correspondents who will inspire you to hit the open road and explore America the Beautiful.